The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Avra Lewis from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as TRRS. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence and Ebony magazines. Our first article today is titled, Four Black Hairstylists You Should Get to Know Right Now. As we saw from Yusuf Williams at Savage X Fenty and Ursula Steven at several New York Fashion Week shows, hairstylists can truly make a show outstanding, but they can't do it all alone. Whether they have to work on 30 models or 100, it's a heavy lift that takes finesse and a skilled team to pull it off. That's where people like Rochelle, Jennifer, Andrita, and Carl come into play. These stylists are just a handful of talented artists in the business whose work you've seen, but whose names you might not know. They're part of the heartbeat of the teams that keep fashion shows, photo shoots, and the like moving seamlessly. They don't wear caps. They don't wear capes, but they wield them. That and a brush, amongst other tools, in their kit to keep black hair flawless. They're part of the change that we're seeing in how all textures of black hair are treated in those settings. There's still a lot of change that needs to happen, but these artists are moving us in the right direction. And today, we honor them in celebration of National Hair Day. Rochelle Walker. Rochelle Walker has been in the beauty industry for 17 years. She discovered her love for beauty growing up in her grandmother's salon. She worked on 10 shows for New York Fashion Week this season, including The Blondes and 85 Eldridge. What was one of your most memorable moments in this business? My most memorable moment came this season when I keyed my first show with my best friend, Bib Dickey III. It was such an amazing feeling with so much love and great vibes. It came out beautifully. What's something you think needs to change in the beauty industry as inclusion and representation are concerned? I would love to see more diversity in the beauty industry overall. I believe I can help orchestrate this change with the platform I have, and I am honored and grateful to do so. What's your best hair hack that you created or discovered that never ever fails? I listen to the hair where it naturally falls, know what the hair's health needs are, and the best product for those needs. The next stylist, number two, Jennifer Covington Bowers. Jennifer Covington Bowers has been putting in work for several years, lending her treasured hands to Fashion Week, both backstage and in the front row. After working for years in a salon, she decided to pivot into editorial hairstyling and made a name for herself by saying yes to everything. After wrapping shows at New York Fashion Week, including Oscar de la Renta, she headed to Europe to work on a handful of Milan Fashion Week shows this fall. What was one of your most memorable moments in this business? A season ago, I decided to go to Europe, having never worked on any shows abroad and only speaking English. I booked a few shows before I left, but the night before my flight, I was released from those shows. I got to Paris and had fun, but was a bit down. Then I got asked if I was available. I said yes, not knowing what the show was, but just needed to do something so the trip wouldn't be an epic fail. That show was Valentino Couture with all these amazing models of color, including Naomi. what's something you think needs to change in the beauty industry as inclusion and representation are concerned? More of us. What's your best hair hack that you created or discovered that never fails? Section out and tie your hair up when you sleep. A silk pillowcase is a must, and tie a silk scarf under wool hats. Andrita Renee, the third stylist. Andrita Renee has been working her magic for 10 years after dropping out of beauty school and sticking with hair. This past fashion week, she welded her brush and cape at several shows, including Christian Siriano, Jonathan Simkhai, and Makey O. What was one of your most memorable moments in this business? This year, I wrote and released a book called The Hairspray Diaries about how to break into and succeed as an assistant in the world of celebrity and fashion hair. I'd love to see more artists of color being taped to key shows during Fashion Week. What's your best hack that you created or discovered that never fails? A slick, low ponytail is the most chic, inexpensive, low maintenance, and universally flattering hair look you can find. The last stylist, Carl T. Payton. Carl T. Payton has been in the industry for 8 years, with a father and an uncle that are both hairstylists with their own salons. Doing hair is in his DNA, but it was his friend, Taja, who helped land him his first amazing gig, his first magazine gig. During this past New York Fashion Week, he worked 6 shows, including Ralph Lauren, Oscar De La Renta, and Marc Jacobs. What was one of your most memorable moments in this business? 4 memorable moments stick out for me in my career, including getting my models.com database page and my mother seeing all my work thus far before she passed away last March, and recently having 3 separate covers for the September issue of Metropolis Report. I was in shock and filled with joy. What is something you think needs to change in the beauty industry as inclusion and representation are concerned? Tokenism. I've seen so many times people of color only get hired on teams just to only do black hair or cornrow hair, and that's it. They touch no other hair. I feel as though the lead stylist just does that to save face so there's no backlash. Yes, the models of color do appreciate someone that's there to do their hair, but at the same time, you're placing limitations on what we can do. I've been asked multiple times, do you do black hair? And my response is always the same. I do hair, period. What is your best hair hack that you created or discovered that never fails? When using a hair mask or protein treatment, use a little conditioner to help it get it all out. You never want to leave that on your hair because you can cause breakage overdoing it with a mask. The next article is titled, Cops Called on Black Doctor Trying to Open a New Bank Account. A Georgia doctor believes he was racially profiled after a bank employee called the police on him when all he was trying to do was open a new bank account with his wife. They said I looked suspicious. I was wearing a hat and they thought I wanted to rob the bank. And I was like, what? Dr. Anthony Oingbula, who treats cancer patients in Henry County, told WSB-TV. The doctor had gone to the United Community Bank on Eagles Landing Parkway, to open a new bank account with his wife. As he spoke to his wife on the phone outside of the building, he found out that he was locked out of the bank. I looked at the door and it said close at 4:30, and my time said it was about 2:15, maybe even 2:10. I'm like, what happened? The doctor said. Little did he know, at the same time, a bank employee was on the phone with 911. WSB-TV received the audio from the call. He went to the door. He went to the front door, and he's been on his phone. And I called from my phone to tell the employees to lock the front door. The bank employee could be heard saying. Apparently, the bank employee didn't like the fact that the doctor was on the phone or walking, deeming him a possible threat. He's been on the phone out front, and we have no cars in the parking lot. He's a walker, so I feel like he's up to no good, the employee added. After having difficulty getting into the bank, the doctor, who apparently by the time had been joined by his wife, decided to go to another bank, which is when they encountered police and realized that someone had made a call about him. Here come the same police, came inside the bank. Now it's two of them, and they said they told the manager to clear the room because they wanted to talk to us, the doctor said. Eventually, officers left without filing any charges, but the doctor firmly believes this was a case of racial profiling. Until it happens to you, you never know what it feels like, he told the news station. I think they need training on how to deal with people. You cannot judge someone from the outside, he added. United Community Bank later released a statement noting that they personally apologized to the couple for the incident. For privacy reasons, we do not comment publicly about the details of any customer or potential customer transactions. However, providing excellent customer service is our top priority, and we are disappointed that we didn't deliver that to the doctor and his wife in this case. This afternoon, we were able to speak directly with the doctor and his wife to personally apologize for the misunderstanding. We are glad for the opportunity to connect and improve and hope to have an opportunity to earn their business in the future. The title of the following article is Dear White People, to End After Fourth Season. It almost feels like graduation. Netflix has renewed Justin Simon's beloved series, quote unquote, Dear White People, for a fourth and final season. Characters will walk the halls of Winchester University one last time in the 10-episode season, which sees Simon returning as writer, co-showrunner, and executive producer alongside Yvette Lee Bowser. I'm so grateful, my little indie that could have made it to four seasons at Netflix, Simon said in a statement. This show, along with many talented storytellers it has brought into my orbit, has changed my life, and I can't wait to create a celebratory final volume befitting such a transformative experience. The series, which follows students at the fictional Ivy League school as they navigate race, sexuality, and everything in between, stars Logan Browning, Ashley Featherston, Antoinette Robertson, Deron Horton, Mark Richardson, Brandon T. Bell, and John Patrick Amidori. They all return for the final season. Opera great Jesse Norman has died. The opera world has lost a legend. Jesse Norman has passed away in New York City. She was 74 years old. An internationally renowned soprano, known for her leading role in Ida, Norman received a Kennedy Center honor and a National Medal of Arts. She made her Met debut in 1983 as Cassandra in Berlioz's Les Troyens and would perform over 80 times on their storied stage. Norman, who received her Bachelor's of Music from Howard University, was a four-time Grammy Award winner. U.S. President Barack Obama presents the 2009 National Medal of Arts to opera singer Jesse Norman during a ceremony February 25, 2010 in the East Room of the White House in Washington, D.C. The Norman family spokesperson, Gwendolyn Quinn, released the below statement. "We are so proud of Jesse's musical achievements and the inspiration that she provided to audiences around the world that will continue to be a source of joy. We are equally proud of her humanitarian endeavors addressing matters such as hunger, homelessness, youth development, and arts and culture education." Norman was the oldest of five children. She survived by two siblings, James Norman and Elaine Sturkey. The official cause of death was septic shock and multi-organ failure secondary to complications of spinal cord injury she had sustained in 2015. According to the New York Times, during Monday's night performance of Porgy and Bess at the Met, the house will dedicate its performance to Miss Norman. Serena Williams shows off her wig washing skills in her new wig head. For a slew of black women around the world, Sundays are wash day, and even for tennis champion Serena Williams, it's the one day of the week where we carve out time from our busy schedules to give our tresses TLC. Williams, who wears many hats, including that of a fashion designer, mother, business investor, and world-class athlete, took a break from her duties yesterday to wash and detangle her wigs. The process of cleaning and styling hair is a job within itself, but as it turns out, it can be fun and easy when you have help. Or at least, that's what it seems like after watching Williams and her husband, Alexis, tag team the task on Sunday. Williams recorded the process in an Instagram story, and the meme moment was educational and hilarious. Bernie Sanders undergoes heart surgery, puts campaign on hold. Senator Bernie Sanders, Democrat, Vermont, is pausing in his 2020 presidential campaign after undergoing heart surgery to remove an artery blockage. CNNBC reports. Sanders, 78, experienced chest pain during an event Tuesday in Las Vegas, Nevada. A medical evaluation revealed a blockage in one artery and he had two stents inserted, according to the senator's advisor, Jeff Weaver. Senator Sanders is conversing and in good spirits. "He will be resting up over the next 5 years," Weaver said Wednesday. "We are canceling his events and appearances until further notice. We will continue to provide appropriate updates." Sanders was in Las Vegas for a memorial ceremony on the 2-year anniversary of the largest gun massacre in U.S. history. During Sanders' 2016 presidential run, his longtime doctor, congressional physician Brian Monahan, found the senator to be in very good health with no history of cardiovascular disease. As the oldest candidate in the presidential race, the senator said in a political interview last year that he's aware his age could become a part of the conversation, but that's his blessed with his health. but that he is blessed with his health. It's a part of a discussion, but it has to be part of an overall view of what somebody is and what somebody has accomplished. Sanders, 77 at the time, said, "Look, you've got people who are 50 years of age who are not well, right? You've got people who are 90 years of age who are going to work every day doing excellent work. And obviously, age is a factor, but it depends on the overall health and well-being of the individual." UW Madison apologizes after lackluster homecoming video showed only white students. The University of Wisconsin-Madison is under scrutiny after a homecoming video featuring only white students was released on Sunday, immediately sparking backlash for the lack of inclusion of the school's underrepresented populations. According to NBC News, the school has since apologized and the video has been deleted. The student committee took down the video after the concerns were raised, and the committee and the association have apologized, the university said in a statement. "We too are sorry for the pain this has caused," one senior at UW Madison called out the school in a Facebook post, noting that she and other members of Alpha Kappa Alpha, a historically black sorority, were asked to participate in the video, only to not be represented. "Not only did we tell them what we thought home was, not only did we tell them what we thought home was, but we also took hours out of our day to film as well, and were told we would be in the video and notified when it was completed," Peyton Wade wrote. "As you can see, we were not featured in the video as we were told, and not only were we not featured, no black students were featured, but instead they chose to show videos of people's butts as they jumped into the lake. Being black at this school is a daily struggle, both mentally and physically. It is hard to have pride for a school where you know you are not wanted and where they obviously do not consider this our home as well," she added. Representative Ayanna Pressley to file resolution for Kavanaugh impeachment. Representative Ayanna Pressley and a slew of other members of Congress are ready for Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh to leave the bench after more sexual misconduct allegations against the newly instated justice surfaced this week. Pressley says she plans to introduce a resolution on Tuesday that calls for an impeachment inquiry. "I believe Christian Blasey Ford. I believe Deborah Ramirez. It is our responsibility to collectively affirm the dignity and humanity of survivors," the Congresswoman said in a statement obtained by reporters. Presidential candidates Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, and Julian Castro, who spoke to Joy Reid this weekend about the matter, have all called for a Kavanaugh impeachment following a New York Times article reported that one of his former Yale classmates saw Kavanaugh press his genitals up against a woman without her consent. "Sexual predators do not deserve a seat on the nation's highest court, and Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation process set a dangerous precedent," Pressley said. "We must demand justice for survivors and hold Kavanaugh accountable for his actions." Brett Kavanaugh, U.S. Supreme Court Associate Justice nominee for U.S. President Donald Trump, reacts while testifying during a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing in Washington, D.C., U.S. on Thursday, September 27, 2018. Christian Blasey Ford said she is 100% certain that Kavanaugh is the person who sexually assaulted her when they were teenagers, and she told a Senate committee that he and his friend laughed at her expense during the attack. Tuesday will not be the first time that Presley publicly opposes Kavanaugh's fitness to sit on the highest court in the country. Days before his confirmation last fall, the member of the squad joined hundreds of protesters at Boston City Hall to denounce his nomination. Presley's resolution would permit an impeachment inquiry, set up a task force to further investigate the allegations made against the justice, and supply the necessary funding to complete the probe. In July of 2018, Donald Trump nominated Kavanaugh for a seat on the SCOTUS. Soon after, sexual misconduct allegations began to surface about the man who was being considered for a lifetime appointment, though accusers Blasey Ford and Ramirez gave compelling statements about what occurred. The Senate voted by the slightest margins, 50-48, to confirm Kavanaugh's nomination. According to the Washington Post, if Kavanaugh is impeached, he will become just the second Supreme Court justice to be removed in this manner. These simple airport hacks will change your travel experience forever. For many of us, if we could skip the experience of having to go through the airport to get to and from a destination, trust us, we would. From beginning to end, there really isn't too much to enjoy about the process. However, it's a step in the journey that we can't avoid. From long lines and overly intrusive security measures to USB port hogs and pricey food, the airport struggle is real. But it doesn't have to be. There are a few ways to make the pre-flight process a little less hectic, and we're here to show you how. With these tips, we'll help you level up your game so that your next trip to the airport is a breeze. Weigh your suitcase in advance, get TSA pre-check or clear, bring a reusable water bottle, protect your data with a power pack, and also track your luggage. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Ebony. We hope you enjoy it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as TRRS. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138, 919-832-5138. So long until next time.